house in Chicago's famous Hotel Sherman, we invite your family to join the millions of families from coast to coast to listen to America's favorite, Don McNeil and his Breakfast Club. And here is your Toastmaster, Don McNeil.
Good morning, Captain. Hallelujah. Welcome back, Carolyn. Hallelujah. It's first call to breakfast for all of you out there.
America, wake up, Breakfast Club is on the
You know, this town is so full of people that you see big shots all over the place. You never know who you're talking to when you walk down the street. And it's swarming with reporters. There are over 5,000 of them here in town. And you got to be careful who you talk to. They said there was one politician who was buttonholed by a fellow yesterday. And the politician gladly gave him all the facts, you know, about himself. Told him everything he could about himself. And when he finally got through, the politician found out that he'd enlisted in the Marines. Before he was through. You got to watch who you're talking to, dude.
That one with a bandage over there has something in common with me.
What's that?
He has a hole in his head, too.
I may be wrong, but I think you're wonderful. Dick Noel.
I may be wrong, but I think you're wonderful. I may be wrong, but I think you're swell. I like your style, say, I think it's marvelous. I'm always wrong, so how can I tell? All of my shirts are unsightly, all of my ties are a crime. If dear in you I pick rightly, it's the very first time you came along, say, I think you're wonderful. I think you're grand, but I may be wrong. I may be wrong. I may be wrong.
Well, Sam isn't the only one who's mixed up here. We got Mrs. Judith Oliver and Mrs. Ethel Mallett. One from Grand Forks, North Dakota, and the other from Cincinnati, Ohio, boys. Yeah, these gals are a little mixed up, really, if you don't mind my saying so. You Mrs. Oliver?
No, I am.
Well, had to be one or the other. Now, Mrs. Oliver, you had to be married twice in France?
That's correct.
Well, why was that?
You're
an American, aren't you?
I am an American, yes. I came from California. And I was there with my parents when I met my husband. He was in the Air Force. And it's a law in France that you must be married by the mayor of whatever village you live in.
Oh.
And so we were married a month and a half before my church wedding by the mayor of the village.
Oh, I see. First you were married by...
The mayor.
By the mayor, and then the second time by...
By the chaplain of the base.
Oh, I see.
And then we came back to the United States.
Don't tell me you were married again.
We wanted it recorded here, so we didn't... If ever we lost the certificate... we wouldn't have to write to France.
Did you get married again here?
No, we didn't. We thought three times was just once too many.
Well, I would think so. Here's a kid that's really married now.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, once is enough.
Oh, boy. Now, you, Mrs. Ballett, thank you so much. You, Mrs. Ballett, haven't got that problem. But just let me read what you wrote. I have a problem, for you see, my husband is my brother-in-law. Old me, and my sister is my sister-in-law, and pretty soon I'll be my own grandma. Will you explain this?
Well, us sisters married brothers.
Oh.
And I am a grandma.
Your own grandma?
No, not my own. I'm afraid not.
But your husband is your brother-in-law.
Yes, he is.
And your sister
is my
sister-in-law.
That's right.
She married brothers. And you...
That's right.
And mm-hmm. I see.
I have some advice for her. I have some advice for her.
What?
She ought to go out and get married again.
Once is enough.
Once is enough. Yeah, you know what you're doing. Well, Laurie Parker, here you are, only 16 years old. How do you all think of all this talk about marriage?
Well, I have a long time to think about that.
Yes, you have. You probably won't get married till you're 17.
At least. Yeah. I don't wait that long.
Do you have anybody picked out or anything?
Yes, I do.
No kidding. Really?
Yes, I do.
Well, now, Laurie, you're only 16. You're much too young.
Well, I'll be 17 next month.
Well, that's true. I didn't think about that. All right, sing about him then. Sing about him. Okay, you've convinced us, all right. You're a junior in North Hollywood High. Is he still in high school, too?
No, he graduated UCLA in June. He goes to NYU Dental School in September.
Oh, you're going to marry a dentist, huh?
Yes.
You say graduated, well, you must be 4 years older than you are.
He was 21 June 15th.
An older man.
You're going to marry an older man. Goodness, isn't that something? Well, I think it's wonderful, young love. Nice to see you, isn't it, Sam?
Nice to see how it happened to other people.
Yes, sir. Before we go any farther this morning, I have a little food for thought for you, a little crumb I'd like to throw out on your breakfast table, if I may. Teenagers, are you listening? Does it seem like the old folks are kind of slowing down, letting life pass them by? Why don't you do something about it? Ask for the key to the garage. And come out with the lawnmower. That'll get him. How's your dog doing this morning? Mrs. McSherry is here. She's in Milton, Massachusetts. A lady with the name of McSherry from Milton, Massachusetts. Speaking of politics, Miss McSherry, you've got a rather cute thing that happened. Was it to your cousin?
Yes, it was. She's a doll.
What was she doing?
She was teaching first grade children in school. She was teaching them the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And one little boy said he already learned it from his older brother. And she said, well, suppose you tell us, Henry, how it goes. So he said, very solemnly, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republicans for which it stands.
Very cute. Thank you. Yes, sir. All right, Dick, a little song from you, if you please.
Run along home and jump into bed. Say your prayers and put down your head. Now we must part, so promise me true. You dream of me and I'll dream of you. After the dancing is done, after the evening is through, after I've taken you home, what can we do? After we count all the stars, after we wish on the moon, after we vow to be true, here's what to do. Run along home and jump into bed. Say your prayers and put down your head. Now we must part, so promise me true. You dream of me.
Pretty, and that brings us to our hymn time with Laurie Parker. Brings us to our moment of silent prayer, in which I ask you, each in his own words, each in his own way, for a world united in peace. Let us bow our heads and pray. Time this morning, I continue with you reading from June McCall's magazine, Leo Rosten's group of little stories from great religions. This morning from the Hebrew. There was a rabbi who was famed for his learning and his wit, and he once was asked by his students why he so often illustrated a truth by telling a story. And he said, that I can best explain through a story. It's a parable about parable itself. Now, there was a time when truth went among men unadorned, just as naked as his name. And whoever saw truth turned away in fear or in shame and gave him no welcome. So truth wandered through the lands of earth, rebuffed and unwanted. One day, most disconsolate, he met Parable, strolling along happily in fine and many-colored garb. Parable asked cheerfully, Truth, why do you seem so sad? And Truth replied, because I'm so old and ugly that all men avoid me. Nonsense, laughed Parable. That's not why men avoid you. Here, borrow some of my clothes and see what happens. And so, Truth donned some of Parable's lovely garments, and lo, everywhere he went, he was welcomed. The rabbi smiled and said, for the truth is that men cannot face truth naked. They much prefer him disguised. I like truth, however, and I wonder if Mrs. Lita Stevenson was telling it on her card. Miss Stevenson, where are you? Says the first time she was here at the Breakfast Club, she wore a pink nightgown and a mink coat. Mrs. Stevenson, I have been here now for lo these many years, and I don't recall that outfit.
Well, it was a very bad dream I had, and it was so real. There were about 5,000 people here, and I wanted to come up and meet you so much, and I looked down and I wasn't presentable.
Isn't that
so? I had to sit there.
I wonder why it is that people so often dream, I have myself, that you're in some place and you're in a horrible, embarrassing garment. You know, you can't quite make it. I wonder what's the basis of that. Have you ever had a psychiatrist tell you?
Well,
not that you need one or anything. I just wonder, you know.
Well, my husband told me one thing.
What?
He said if I put that on my card, he'd send me home to my mother. But then he can't do that because she's coming to see us.
Oh, won't he be delighted? She probably only stayed 2-3 months.
Oh, she's here today. Just 1 month.
Oh, just 1 month. Well, that's real thoughtful of her, I think, yeah. Well, thank you for coming as you are.
May I shake your hand?
Yes, indeed. Certainly nice to see you. Thank you very much. You're very charming.
You were speaking of psychiatrists.
Yeah.
You know that Frau went to one about Eddie?
Eddie Ballantyne's wife went to a psychiatrist?
Yeah, she said she was worried about Eddie. He thought he was a clothes washing machine.
Clothes washing?
His head kept going around and soap and stuff came out of his ears.
Oh.
And the guy said, well, does that disturb you? She says, no, but he's not getting the clothes clean.
That's Eddie all over. Yeah, he beats as he sweeps as he cleans, you know. Yeah, no stoop, no squat, no squint. Oh, me. You know, I've got something here that is just about the truth, and I was speaking of the truth a minute ago. You know, when politicians say certain things, they don't exactly mean what they say. For example, a politician says, I have long admired the great accomplishments of my good friend, the mayor. Well, what that means is that he read the list they handed him a minute ago when they told him what the mayor's name was. Or he says, I have often enjoyed visiting this fine state with its good, solid people and its rolling fields of golden grain. That means the party told him to get out there and butter up the farm bowl, see? Or he says, of course, I'll be happy to attend the smoker right after this session. Me too tired? Oh, nonsense. That means I'd darn better well have some more of those stay-awake pills left so I can stay with it. See, that's... You got to translate. You got to look behind and see what they're really talking about. You got a joke here, Ed, I thought would be kind of interesting for about now because I don't know the answer to it. You see, in the wintertime, the robins fly south, and in the summer, they fly north. Well, I knew that, but you say you know the reason why. Why do they do that?
Why, they, that's the best way to get there. That beats walking.
Yeah. I a couple more like that, and I wouldn't blame the Indians for taking off. Would you? You don't know anymore, do you?
Well, yeah, I know a couple more. There's a nice time, a nice season of the year. It's about the ball games. The one is, the bases are loaded, a home run is hit, no man scores.
Bases are loaded, a home run is hit?
Yes.
No man scores. I can't understand that. Why is that?
It was a woman's team.
Oh.
Another.
What?
I have another.
Well, it beats walking, I'll tell you that.
All right. Now, this isn't a professional game now.
Oh.
And it's, it was a professional game, and he's a man team now.
Man team.
The man team, yes. The bases were loaded. A foul was hit in the center field.
Foul in center field.
And no one scored.
A foul was hit in center field?
Yes, sir.
And no one, sir. I don't understand that.
Why, it was a chicken crossing the field.
Ed,
I'm going to join the Indians.
Yeah. Ed, that's enough. That's enough. I just wanted to ask you what you do back in Buffalo.
Professionally, they call me a wood butcher, but I classify myself as a fair or a good carpenter.
You're a carpenter?
Yes.
Well, remind me never to walk on your platform.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And that brings us to... Holy smokes. That brings us to...
Really, as bad as the first one you told today.
All right, let's get Laurie and Dick together and see what happens.
Down by the
Eddie Ballantyne points out to me that that's the first time you ever sang that duet with a girl, and those words, "you were 16,
are true.
First, she wasn't lying about her age. It's really true. She is. I'd like to hear a song from you, Laurie Parker. And it might be that you'd want to dedicate this to somebody. What's the name of it?
If I Rebel.
You want to dedicate this to Sam?
All righty. I will. I'll dedicate it to Sam.
Yes, If I Were a Bell. He's very much like the Liberty Bell. You know, half crack.
Ask me how do I feel. Ask me now that we're cozy and from this chemistry lesson I'm learning. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bridge, I'd be burning. Yes, I knew my morale would crack from the wonderful way that you looked. Boy, if I were a duck, I'd quack. Or if I were a goose, I'd be cooked.
he'll ask me now that we're fondly caressing. Pal, if I were a salad, I know I'd be splashing my dressing. Or if I were a season, I'd surely be spring. Or if I were a bell, I'd go ding, dong, ding, dong. Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding.
Where's Doc Spears? I want to say hello to him. Guy, 87 years old here this morning. Where is he? Doctor? My goodness. 87 years old, huh? Still walking around, looking fine. How are you, sir?
Very good, thank you.
Good. General practitioner?
No, eye, nose, and throat.
The eye, nose, and throat?
Yeah.
For how many years?
67 years.
67 years out of the 87, huh? Well, what's up, Doc?
Nothing.
Along with breakfast clubbers, this ends our meeting. Once again tomorrow, you'll hear our greeting.
We'll be looking for you, and until then, your Toastmaster Don McNeil and the whole gang says, so long and be good to your neighbor.
Don McNeil's Breakfast Club has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.